hope you do. Matthew 6:24. You might want to get one of these sermon notebooks, because you're not going to get it all down and you're not going to get it in time. There's 150 verses in this study, and there's no way I will be able to say them all to you. But if you feel like jotting some things down, you can. What was really annoying me one day is I just kept hearing all this stuff on hate crimes, hate crimes, hate crimes. We all know what it's about, you know. If you say something about this person, you know, you can go to jail for hating this and that. And I just stood back and I remember just saying, we keep getting threatened with these hate crimes. If you preach about homosexuals, you know, you can get thrown to jail and all this hate, 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 hate. I thought, well, you know, what does the Bible really say when it comes to hate? So I looked up the words, hate, hatred, hating, hated, looked up every single word on hated, and just went through and just made a study out of it. And this is, some of this stuff is very good. Some of it should be like, oh, I understand. Other things might be hard. Some of this is rubber hits the road, and it's very hard stuff. But we all need to know the proper thing of hatred. A lot of people say, well, we shouldn't have hatred at all. Actually, the Bible says more things we should hate. Seriously, you're going to see more verses where God said, hate this, hate this, hate this, hate this, hate this. We always think because of the hate crimes and everything, you're not allowed to hate. God is love, and we live in this world of this utopia that God is so lovely that he would never send anybody to hell. Yes, he was. Yes, he would, because he's a holy God, is he not? It's not that he doesn't hate the person. He hates sin. He hates it. Do you realize that God hates sin so much that he, for the first time ever in history, he would not even look on his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he looked on him, he saw your sin, he saw my sin. And literally, that's why Jesus said, my God, for the very first time. Did you notice he didn't say, my Father? Because every time you see in the Bible when Jesus talks to God, the Heavenly Father, he always called him Father. But that time he called him my God. Do you know why? Because God hates sin so much. That's why God, Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou, what's the next word? Forsaken me. There's some things that we need to understand. There's some things about hate that God hates some things. But we, it's probably more of our culture that we're taught, you know, you just don't want to be an offense to anybody. But in a way, you're offending who? God. Because God is not a God of hatred. He's not. He's a God of holiness. But when it comes to holiness, there's some things he hates. And I mean, he's disgusted about it. For instance, if I had a plate of, you know, certain things, you know that every one of you can name something that you'll eat, but you can name some things that you hate, and you won't even touch them. You hate this stuff. You just the smell of it, or some of you, when it comes to certain things, you're just looking at it or seeing it, you're just, ugh, gross, ugh. Well, that's the same kind of hatred that you'll see when we go through this study. But there's some unhealthy hatred. There's like unhealthy hatred. There's healthy hatred. Just give you some of the big outlines on this thing. But there really is 150 verses on it. Causes of hatred we'll be going through if you want to write that down. And you can just list things underneath them. Results of hatred and how to treat those that hate you. And but let's, without any further ado, let's pray and then we'll get into the lesson. So get your seatbelt on because here it comes. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. You're so good to us, dear Lord. I'm amazed, dear Lord, that you really are so patient with us, really, when it comes to your word. You're such a holy God, and I don't even think I understand one little bit of how holy you are. We live in such a world that we wink at sin and we wink at things that you hate. And you disgust you. And dear Lord, we really don't understand your mind. We don't understand your ways because we dabble in things that you just hate. And I just pray, dear Lord, so much that you'd really just help us, that we take these things to heart. Maybe some of them are hard to chew, but dear Lord, help us that we'd eventually just study it on our own and see that, dear Lord, there's some things in our life, if God hates it, we should hate it too. And dear Lord, I thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for your love, how you're so patient with us. But I pray that you move us to do some great things for you this year. When unfortunately, it's hard to use someone that's full or when our vessels are dirty. But I pray, dear Lord, that you clean us up, help us, And I pray for your Holy Spirit to move through us. And I love you and thank you for all that you do. In your name, amen. I'll just give you some list. But if you haven't found Matthew 6:24 by now, you'll probably never find it. But verse 24 says this, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which mammon is another word for money. But I want you to notice there's a phrase in there. It says, "For either he will hate the one and love the other." When I usually title this, it's either love or hate. Life is all about love or hate. There is no, some people say, well, yeah, there's that middle neutral ground. But very few times we ever find a neutral ground about anything. It's either you love something or you hate something. Hate doesn't mean always disgust. Sometimes hate just means less love. But everything in life is either love or hate. I'm sorry to say it's either you love God or sometimes you hate him. And many people hate him. It's true, though. There's some people that don't want to go to church, and they're saved, but they hate what? God's ways. I just don't want to be around Christians. I just, leave me alone. Does that say they love God? Is that showing that they love God? No. Sometimes they hate God. And that's some of the unhealthy hatreds. It's either you love or you hate. And we got to be careful because if we don't love something, we automatically hate it. If you don't hate it, you love it. But there's no neutral ground. It's either one or the other, and that's why you got to be careful what you get involved with, because it can really help you or hurt you immensely. Now, here's some unhealthy hatreds, and I'll just list them. There's lots of them. But you can hate one another. These aren't healthy hatreds. These are what you should not hate. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts, and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." It's saying, hey, in your former life, you used to hate everybody. But that's one thing I notice even nowadays, we make a mock at it. You see a commercial, oh, you hate me because I'm beautiful. But they make it look like, oh, you're allowed to hate. I notice. I've never heard growing up, and I work a lot with youth, but I hear that word every week. I hate you. Why'd you do that? I hate you. Why? We're accustoming ourselves to constantly, I hate you. But then next week, oh, it's okay. I'm sorry I said that. But we're accustomed, making ourselves get used to hating anybody. Oh, you look different than me, so I hate you. The racial and everything else. But see, that's our former life, and that's not a way we should be. It says in Matthew 24:10, "Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." It's talking about the end times. But there's other things that are unhealthy hatred. Hating knowledge. Proverbs 1:29 says, For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Be very careful. We live in a world where it's sort of funny now when it comes to the evolution and creation. Do you notice if you even want to learn about creation, they make fun of you? Do you notice that? You're not allowed to even learn about it. Just talking to a teenager who took an ACT test, I was going to tell her earlier, there's a whole section of evolution. Seriously. On some of the ACT tests, SAT tests, and if you don't answer them according to, like, the Earth was 5 billion years old and everything else, you fail it. You get a zero on those things at ACT, and it'll take your average is supposed to be 18, it'll take you down to below average, and if you wanted to get into a good college, guess what, you couldn't, because they say, why'd you get zero on this? Because I don't believe in evolution, and there's a whole section on it. But they won't let you learn the other side, right, because we hate knowledge. We hate true knowledge. True knowledge is God's word. We'll learn everything but this, won't we? So you got to be careful. There's a lot of unhealthy hatred. Another one, which I think we all struggle with, is Proverbs 5:12. And I say, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof?" I always say instruction can be your best friend. Some of the worst things in life are sometimes when someone instructs you and tells you, hey, this is how we do things, this and that. The hardest thing in life is we all want to say, no, I know, blah, 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 and we go on. But especially when you're younger, and I deal with a lot of younger people, it's hilarious because I watch it. And we all were that way. We all remember when if our parents told us how to do this, our first reaction is, Don't worry, I know, right? Don't you remember that? I think every one of you probably remember those times. Oh, I know, I know. And they hate instruction. Be careful. You don't have to be a teenager to hate instruction. I can see God in your life by just watching someone going up to you and say, "Hey, do you mind? I noticed you did that wrong. Can I show you how to do it?" And they, "What's wrong with you?" And they get all mad and testy. "Oh, well, you have the right to tell me what to do." You got to be careful because unhealthy hatred is hating instruction. It can be your best friend, and then you just repeat the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. There's another unhealthy hatred. Ephesians 5:29 says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." There's a natural love for your flesh, but you ever notice people that hate themselves? They don't take care of themselves. They don't sleep right. They don't eat right. They don't care. They don't even clean themselves. They don't even take showers or anything else. Hey, that can happen to anybody. Where you get to the point where I hate myself and you start, tattooing yourself and doing other things and because you hate yourself. Now, God doesn't want us to be that way, so that's why it's very important that we take care of our bodies, that we have a natural love. God even gave us a natural love that we have for ourselves. But you ever notice people that are walking the street, you can tell they hate themselves. And I'll say one thing about a bitter person. Almost every bitter person that I know, usually they always, those that are bitter are those people that hate themselves, and they always lash out at everybody. You ever notice people like that? Bitter people, seriously, are usually the whole thing is they just hate themselves. They hate everything about, "Oh, I hate the way I look and this and that." And they're always bitter and they're always lashing out and everything else. It really comes down to it. They have an unnatural hate for themselves when God said, "Hey, you don't need to even be that way." So be very careful because those kind of things can kill you. God said, "Don't you need to have a love. A natural love, now not a obese love where it's all about me." And I'm saying you need to take care of yourself. You need to watch your weight. You need to watch what you eat. You need to exercise. You need to love yourself, not get to the point where it just doesn't matter anymore. I'm just gonna die happy. I don't care. I'm gonna have beer in one hand, remote in the other. I don't care. No, that's not what God wants for us. Okay? There's also other things. There's some people. Psalms 126 says, "My soul hath long dealt with him that hateth peace." How's your home? How's your home life? How's your workplace? Is it peaceful? Or is it non-peaceful? I know some people, they think peace is boredom, and they hate peace. They do. We live in a world of so much entertainment where we always have to have things going, going, going. We always have to have either the TV on or the radio on or just complete noise all the time because we hate peace. We hate it. And we've trained ourselves to hate it. If you say, if it was totally peace, if it was so quiet in here, you could let a pin drop, some people go, "Oh." You remember, what's the old saying? They'd always say, silence is deafening. Because they'd be, "Oh, I just can't say, I get stir crazy." Well, doesn't God speak in a loud voice? Or does God speak in a quiet voice? See, I think because the devil's got into our culture so much that we hate peace and we like the noise, how can God ever talk to us? Because he talks in the small voice, but we're so busy. Oh, as soon as you go home, we turn this on, turn that on, turn this on, and there's always something going. We don't even want peace. We don't even want the silence. We just, oh, that's irritating. Be careful, because that's an unhealthy hatred. There's hatred, unhealthy hatred of reproof. And Proverbs 12:1, that's a lot like instruction. There's John 3:20. There's hatred, unhealthy hatred of life. Hey, I was telling the teams once, I said, my dad, he helped missionaries. He was a foreman for taking out asbestos in schools during the summers. And he would help missionaries that would come over and they'd get extra money on their furloughs when they couldn't get in there. And that was when they had the asbestos scare. In all the schools, you remember they had to tear them all out in the 80s and stuff like that. But he took me to, once he took me on a job site, the whole family, because it was a really nice school, and we just stayed there for a week with him. And he took us in the middle of a cafeteria once. And he goes, "Now, I know it's a dark room, but just take like 15 steps, just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. And while I'm doing that, I'm going crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh, wow, this is weird. I was only 8 years old at that time, and I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty strange. He goes, "Now stay right where you are. I know it's dark." And I'm like, "Okay, I could sort of see the dim light." And he turned on the lights. So what do you think you saw? Big, huge cockroaches. They're like, through the, and as soon as the light came on, There must have been hundreds of them, because they just went, and you just saw them, you know, except the ones I killed, going out there. And they were just scattering all over the place, because one thing about it, cockroaches hate light. But do you notice also bars hate light? Do you notice also movie places? Well, of course they hate light, but that's... But there's certain societies that they live on very little light, because John 3:20 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." There's something about an unhealthy hatred where people just like to do things in the dim light because they just don't want to be seen. They don't want to be caught. So be careful if you get that kind of hatred. Here's a very big hatred that we all have to worry about, and that's our brother. Now, there's a difference between brother and one another. One another is just hating everybody. But when you hate your brother, there's a big difference. 1 John 2:9 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now." Well, there's interesting. There's three different things it talks about people that hate their brother. It says, number one, that if you hate your brother, you walk in darkness, in John 2:11. Number two, you're a murderer. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." You always hear people talk about, you know, the Ten Commandments. They always say, well, you know, if you lust upon a woman, you commit adultery in your mind. So that means every time you look at pornography, you're committing adultery. And just throw that out for those that struggle. But he says, if you hate your brother. Now, this is not just anybody. He's saying a brother is someone that's saved, that's born again. And if you hate him, he says, number one, you live in darkness. Number two, you're a murderer in my sight. And number three, you're a liar. It says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? God's very big into it. He said, hey, if you hate your brother, he said, number one, you're living in the dark. You're living with the shades on and you're not seeing around. Be careful. I mean, we all have our problems. I have my problems. I mean, sometimes people can agitate you and everything else. But you don't want to get to the point where you hate people. And get to the point because, number one, God says you live in darkness. Number two, you say you're a murderer. Number three, you're a liar. So be very, very careful. There's also other things, hate in heart, Leviticus 19:17. Hating the man of God. Of course, none of you have that problem. Or you wouldn't be here tonight. But 1 Kings 22:8. It's sort of funny. It says, yet there is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Of course, that was King Ahab said that. And I wouldn't want to be in the same row or be like King Ahab. Wouldn't that be that would be a bad thing when if you hate a man of God, you're doing exactly what King Ahab had. And we all know King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, so you'd be in the same boat. And I wouldn't want to be in the same boat with him. 2 Chronicles 18:7 talks about the same thing. There's also other unhealthy hatreds, hating the righteous. Psalm 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. So you got to be careful when, and Pastor even talked about this, you ever, you know, Pastor comes around and you just hate to be around someone that's righteous, or you hate to be around a man of God. Oh, I can't wait till he leaves so I can put the movie in. I wish he would leave so I can, like, finish the joke, you know? He's sitting right there. I got to wait, you know? You got to be careful. Because if you don't watch it, sometimes we do those things. We do. Sometimes we're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so's here, so we don't want to, you know. You act different. Because sometimes we hate people that live right. We do. We hate it. So be careful. Be careful that you hate without a cause. And Psalms 69:4, Psalms 34, 35:19, hating wrongfully. Most of the time, we probably hate people wrongfully, mostly because of one thing, G-O-S-S-I-P. How many times have you hated someone? Oh, I can't believe they said that about me. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe it. That just makes me, I hate them too. And then you find out it was gossip anyways, and they never said it. You ever been in that? I have. I remember saying, wow, I can't believe that person said that about me. I remember several times, even some teens will say, yeah, so-and-so said that about you, and say, blah, 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 and I'm sitting there going, oh, I can't believe they said that. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, they annoy me, they agitate me, and then to find out it was never true. So be careful, because you can hate wrongfully so quick. Hating the upright, hating the good in Micah 3:2, And then loving those who hate God. Now, that's a whole different thing, and we won't get it. Oh, man, I might even skip a lot of that. But I want you to understand is the world hates God. And this is all just under the point of hating God. John 15:18, John 7:7, John 15:19 talks about it. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You got to get one thing in your mind is that the world hates you. If you're a Christian and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will annoy, you will agitate. If you think I'm kidding, just don't drink. I annoyed one of my neighbors, or not one of my neighbors now because they moved away, but I remember him having a beer in his hand, walking over to me, and he goes, hey, you want? I got an extra one, I'll bring one over. I said, no, I don't drink. He didn't know who I was. This is the first time we ever met. First time we ever met, you know, because he's like, oh, yeah, you look like a cool neighbor. You're out with your kids playing around, so he just came over. That's his kid to play with our kids. And I was like, hey, cool, how you doing? He's like, hey, you want me to? I go, no, I don't drink. And you should have seen him going, what, oh, you don't drink right now? Oh, yeah, you just want one for later? I'm like, no, I don't drink at all. And they're like, he even looked at me and goes, do you mean you never drink? It's like, nope, never had a drop of alcohol on my tongue. And he's like, and you should have seen. He's almost like, well, nice knowing you. And he would never really talk to me from there on. Every time I say, hey, how you doing? He'd be like, he almost hated me. Without a cause. Just because I didn't drink. And then he found out later on all the other things. But I want you to understand the world hates you. What you stand for is something the world hates. You might as well get it in your mind now, because I wouldn't want to be a friend of the world. Because if the world hates God, and you're friends with the world, then whose side are you on? Now think about it. Whose side are you really on? If you really want to be buddy up with those people because you just don't want to make a scene or something like that, you know, then be careful. Because the world hates God without a cause. Even John 15:24-25 says it. I think it's interesting that the end of John 15:25 says, they hated me without a cause. The world hates Jesus, John 15:23. It's a description of a reprobate mind, talking about haters of God in Romans 1:3. Even people that unhealthy hatred is, of course, hating Israel. And I won't even go anymore because we got to get over some healthy hatreds. Now, these are things that actually God told us to hate. What I just gave you was, if you numbered them all, there were 16 things that God, unhealthy hatreds. But there's a lot more of things God told us to hate. Romans 7:15 says, for that which I do I allow not, for which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Sometimes you say, hey, you know, some of the things I hate, I do. These are things saying, hey, these are things you should hate. And we all will struggle with some of these things. Some of these things, God said, you should hate it, but sometimes we still do it. But you got to get to that point where it's hatred. I remember there was a point in my life where when I was a teenager, I wore shorts, but you know what? I hate them. Even those teens that will go on camp will notice I will wear pants everywhere. I even wear pants in the swimming pool. And I do. Because I just, to be honest, I hate showing skin, period. that's me. And I just have a, you might say, wow, that's weird. But when I was a teenager, I thought it was okay, but there's something about the closer you want to get to God, the more you'll realize you start hating things that 10 years ago you didn't mind. Because there's some things in your life that God wants you to hate. I mean, just wants you to hate it. You know, a lot of times I remember there was times as a teenager that I would go to people's houses, and that's why I don't let my kids go to people's houses, because that's probably where I saw every one of the movies my parents did not allow me to see. And my dad was a pastor and a preacher. But every time I went to someone else's house with other people's standards, they had movies I wasn't allowed to see, so I thought. Back then, I didn't hate it, but now I do. Those same ones, I don't want to watch, I have a hatred for it. But back then, I didn't. So see, you eventually, through time, the closer you get to God, the more you realize you'll have hate for things that you didn't before, and you say, wow, it's just amazing how God works in your life. But the first one is, and this is probably the hardest one, is covetousness. Exodus 18:21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. See, when Moses, you remember when he had, he said, hey, you're going to kill yourself. You got a million people here, and every from sun up to sun down, all you're doing is doing all this. And his father-in-law said, hey, here's some good men, but make sure these men, number one, make sure these men hate covetousness. You get outside of this country, and covetousness isn't that bad, really, because they don't have a lot of things. That man from Burma, did you just notice the man from Burma said, it's weird. Come to America. In Burma, we only own 3 shirts and maybe 1 or 2 pairs of pants, and that's it. Over here, how much do we really own? If I told you how many shirts I have, you know what I mean? We have, most of us in this place probably have more underclothing stuff than what they have. And I'm serious. Because we just live in a culture of covetousness. Do you realize the benefits of hating covetousness? Do you realize you can live on a budget if you don't hate covetousness? See, most people get in debt and have credit card bills because they just thought, I just got to have that. You know, I can pay for it later, so I'll just use my credit card now. But all that is a covetous, is it not? Do you realize that will help you on your budget? That will even help you even, I know this sounds weird, but that will even help you with your own weight and your own health. Because a lot of times we're covetous when it comes to even food. Oh, that sounds good. I want it. I'll just get it and eat it. True? And we all struggle with that, myself included. That's still covetousness. It's what we desire, but we don't need it, but we get it anyways. If you really get to the point where you start hating it, you look at it and say, I don't need it. I don't need it. I hate it. Why do I have to have that? What? I don't need it. And you'll find out that you can live on half of what you have. I know a man that probably makes close to $1 million. I know him personally. And I've talked to him several times. He's in Ohio. But I'll tell you what, every time, he's a friend of my father. But I'll tell you what, the guy that makes that money, much money, you say, wow, that must be nice. Well, you'd have everything paid for, right? No. Every time I talk to him, you know what his first thing out of his mouth is? I am so up to my head in debt. I'm like, you make like $780,000 a year. How can you be in debt? Well, I have this and this and the other house down in California. I got the one in Florida. Because what's his problem? He didn't learn to hate covetousness. See, it doesn't matter how much you make. It's how much you spend. It doesn't matter. You can make as much as little as me or little as my son Noah, and it doesn't matter. You can. He makes probably $2 a year, but he lives within his budget. But I'm telling you, it all depends. Hey, are you going to either live frugal or you have to go out and you got to buy the new stuff? You just got to have it. You got to have it. Well, I understand if Dr. Torito and Dr. Check need the newest stuff for their veterinary clinic, because if they don't, the cats and dogs die, which is understandable. You have to have the latest technology. But when it comes to certain things, you don't need them. You don't need the brand new shirts. You don't need the brand new cars. A lot of times we don't. I understand if it's within a budget, it's fine. But our thing that's killing us in America is covetousness. Proverbs 28:16 says, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Isn't that a great promise? Saying you can even live longer if you learn to hate covetousness. Because, see if this rings a bell, the teenagers will understand this, but the more that you have, it takes what to take care of it? It takes more time, effort to take care of things, doesn't it? The less that you have, it's easier and simpler to live, isn't it? Is it not? The problem is when we get too much stuff and we accumulate stuff, it's harder to live. And then you get more stressed out. Oh, I forgot. You got to take care. Oh, I forgot. I got to do an oil transfer this thing. And my 3 quads outside, I got to take care of them. And it's harder to take care of things. And you get stressed out of all these things when, what do you need them anyways? But healthy hatred. Learn to hate covetousness. Learn to hate garments spotted by the flesh. Jude 1:23. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Psalm 26:5. Hating congregations of evildoers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. One thing that I have no problem doing it. Some maybe aren't to this point. But as soon as someone starts just making fun of just I don't know, making fun of the pastor, or not even pastor, just ungodly things, I have no problem just going, okay, bye, and I just walk away. I don't say anything. I just walk away. Because I just don't like being with people that are God haters. I just don't like it. And I hope you can get to that point where you can stand up on your 2 feet and say, I don't need to be with you, and just walk away. I know it's not that hard. It's not that easy to do when you're working. You can't just do that and say, oh, he's so profane. I'm just walking away. No, I'm not saying that. But sometimes out of our own choice, we're with people that we shouldn't be with. And we need to learn, hey, we don't need these people. I hear teenagers all the time, oh, we're going to be friends for the rest of our life. How many of you are still friends with people that you graduated with? Andrew? One, two, three. Oh, well, yeah, we married each other. Oh, that's cute, marriage. No. But very few of you, and if you do, you graduated from a class of 500. You knew probably 25 to 30 people in each class, but you probably only know one or two of that. I hear it all the time. Oh, I'm going to stay with you. You're going to be friends for the rest of our lives. And it's funny how those friends get bad, and you just go your separate ways. But just learn to hate the congregation of evildoers. Learn to hate this. Psalms 31:6. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. We live in a land that loves lying. Not just lying, but vanities. Emptiness. We love just lying emptiness, which is just, we could go on and on about that one. But I want you to understand, get to the point that if someone asks you about information that we don't give them a lie, and an empty answer, be careful. Because I get this all the time, because people will go up to me and say, yeah, I got so-and-so for $35. I show up to a place and it was $95, and I ask the associate and say, wasn't this supposed to be $35 or something? And they said, no, it's always been $95. And I'm like, why did that person? Hey, I know sometimes we make mistakes, but a lot of times on purpose we lie. Just so it looks, you know, I'm just using a little thing there, but a lot of times we're used to lying. I've noticed working with teens and just even young people, adults, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the world, did you notice one thing is they won't bat an eye about lying? If you did a mistake, they'll say, oh, just don't tell them. Just tell them this. Give them a lie. Don't worry about it. And they, right? No matter where you work, you're almost taught, oh, just lie to your manager. Just say you were here. We'll cover for you. Just, you know, and they'll just openly lie. But God says, no, hate it. Hate it to the point that you fight it and say, no, 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 no. I'm just going to be honest. I wasn't here. This is not what happened. You know, a lot of times the manager goes, thank you. And then they talk to the people that lied. And usually they're the ones that get fired. And it's the truth, though. They like honesty. We live in a world, if you're honest, people will go, thank you. They will. Because we all make mistakes. But unfortunately, if we get to the point where we don't hate it, our first thing out of our mouth is a lie. No big deal. Hey, everybody else does it. But we need to get to the point we hate it. Here's another thing. We need to hate sin. Of course, that goes closer you get to holiness. But Hebrews 1:9 talks about, thou hatest loving righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Here's another one. Proverbs 11:15. He that is surety of a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. One thing you need to really learn to hate is co-signing. Just don't co-sign, okay? Proverbs 13:5 talks specifically about a righteous man hateth lying. Proverbs 15:27 says, he that is greedy to gain trouble of his own house, but he that hateth gifts, which means bribes, learn to hate bribes. I notice that's one thing that I notice is different going to New York, is we live on the barter system up here. We do. We live on the barter system. You pat my back, I'll pat your back, instead of being honest with them. I notice that big time in Western New York. Because in Ohio, I was just taught, hey, if that's what it is, you just pay the price and you do it. You know, you want to be fair, and sometimes you wheel and this and that. But I notice a lot of things around here is, you know, I'll bribe you, you bribe me, I'll give you, help you out, you help me out, we'll squeeze you through, we'll do this and that. But that's bribes. Learn to the point that you hate bribes. You don't just do things to get into them. I'm being a buddy-buddy with them so I can get in here and that. No, that just tells me you don't hate what God hates, and God hates bribes. Okay? So stop loving something that really the Bible says to hate. Learn to hate evil. Learn to hate works that corrupt. Psalms 119:105, learn to hate every false way. Psalms 119:113 says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Hey, learn to just hate things that just doesn't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some just things that are just empty thoughts. And you ever heard, I know, oh, you're going to get this. Those that go soul winning always get this. Well, can God make a rock that's bigger than he can pick up? Is that not a vain thought? I get it all the time. Pastor Seth, I got a big question for you. You know, like, oh, I'm going to stump you. I'm like, that is so petty. It's so vain. But unfortunately, we should hate vain thoughts because we like to do the same thing to other people. We like to stomp people. Yeah. I know this needless information. Let me tell you about it. And then we make ourselves look good. But a lot of times it's just vain thoughts. Why do we have to worry about it? Why do we have to even, we just need to learn to hate vain thoughts. We need to learn to hate family. Now, not to the point where it's this peaceful. We had talked about, Pastor did a good job on this one. Luke 14:26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He's saying, no, God needs to be number one first. And God's hatred is, and there's a lot of things on that, loving violence, there's, God hates, there's a lot of things. God hates backsliding people. God hates abominations. I don't even have time to give all this stuff because my time's going. God hates images. God hates loving violence. That's interesting. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That's one thing, and those that go visiting on bus routes, if you notice, if you go to any house and you open up the house, you go inside, most people are watching what kind of videos nowadays? Horror movies, violent movies. And we love it. But God says, you know what? I hate it. I can't stand it. But we love it as Americans because we think it's okay. You know, I know his head just got chopped off or he got his leg cut off with a... Oh, I'm telling you. I know it's no laughing matter, but I'm telling you, we are addicted to violence. We're addicted to it. We think if it doesn't got violence in it, it's a boring movie. If there's no blood going everywhere, it's boring. Why should I watch it? But we are. But God says, I hate that. In Psalms 11:5, he hates unspiritual sacrifices. He hates even divorce. Malachi 2:16, but I understand. I know, but this is coming from him. It says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. But even Israel himself divorced himself, if you remember that. There's something he hates, but he still is patient with it. So don't think God doesn't love you. It's just he hates. He instituted what first before the church? The family. Amen? So I just, now I understand some in here are, but that doesn't mean God hates you. He just hates that when it's broken. He hates a proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that divides the wicked, imagination, feet that be swift to mischief, false witness, sowing discord among brethren. You're never going to keep up on this. Forward mouth, imagine evil in your own heart against a neighbor, false oath, deeds of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And we don't have a lot of time. We have 3 minutes, and then I'll just close down. But there's causes of hatred. There's many things that cause hatred. But if you take the relationship with Esau and Jacob in Genesis 27:41, do you notice jealousy is the biggest thing that causes hatred? Be careful with if you have more than one child. Because the way the father and Esau and Jacob, Joseph and his brothers, that favoritism, that jealousy caused hatred that the brothers hated Joseph to the point they almost wanted to kill him, didn't they? Be careful. Jealousy is probably one of the biggest forerunners of hatred. Murmuring is one of the biggest things of hatred. Because many times you find yourself hating things just because it was a murmur, it was a gossip. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 1:27, Judges 15:2. Says, and her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companions, not her younger. He said, in my mind, I thought in my mind that you hated her, so of course I did this and this and this. Our biggest problem most of the time with hatred is right here. And it all starts with gossip and murmuring. So be careful. Less fortunate people, your race, backgrounds, upbringing, dating is probably one of the biggest things that you'll see. 2 Samuel 13:15, and Ammon hated her exceedingly, so that he hated wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Ammon said unto her, arise, be gone. She knows almost every dating scenario I've ever seen. When they break up, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I've seen 13 and 14-year-olds break up, and they're just swearing at each other. I'm never going to see you again. I hate you. I hate you. And it's like, wow, that's weird. Like 2 months ago, you guys were like, oh, I love you. You're so cute. No, we're going to get married. And, oh, life is so cool. I can't wait till we get the white picket fence, and I'm going to have a $1 million job, and when I give you the Lamborghini and this and that, and, you know, life is this utopia and everything else. And then they first fight, and they just hate each other. That's why I hate dating. I just hate it with a passion. I couldn't tell you how many people will not go to this church because someone else is here and they dated them before and they will not come in this place because they're here. I'm serious. Because they hate them so much. Because, yeah, I dated them, but oh, I'll never go to that church because they go there. I've seen it. Wicked devices. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. I don't know what that means. You can look into it, but it's, if you want to get wicked devices, you will be a hated person. Living for self will be hated. Living inheritance, just being saved, you will be hated. Pride, products of the flesh. Flattery of self. For he, this is interesting, Psalms 36:2. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. If you want to learn to even hate yourself and learn to have hate in your life, just flatter yourself continually. And you'll just, there's one thing, you ever heard the old saying? There's one thing to lie to someone else, but when you start lying to yourself, you're really in for it. And that's the problem when you start flattering yourself. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, I know. I'm the best. Well, what can I say? You know, I'm the best. You know, I know everybody else got, like, you know, I was like 101 average in school. Of course, it's a delusional thing. And you hear people go on and on about their accomplishments. Oh, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 and they go on and on and on. But you notice those people are not very happy people, you notice? They're not. Because there's one thing about flattering yourself. It just turns to a thing where you just start hating yourself because you start saying, I'm just living a lie. Now I can't even stand myself because my life is a lie. So be careful. No discipline, lying tongue, friend of a thief, reproving, scorner, overstaying, welcome. That's an interesting one. Proverbs 25:17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Which is saying, be careful how long you stay in someone's house. If you want to cause hatred, stay in someone's house too long. And you will cause hatred. There's so much to that you can't do this. There's no, that was half of the study. There's other things, results of hatred, and then there's how to treat those that hate you, which is very simple. Just pray for them. Do good to them, help them, repay them. But I want you to understand, Proverbs 15:17 says this, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. It's saying, you know, the worst of the worst life is better than having the nicest things in the world and living with hatred. It's saying you can live the worst of the worst. You can have all the mistakes. Your cars can always be running down, and you never seem to have two nickels to rub together, and you can't seem to have, you just, oh, my life is bad. But you know what he says? That's better than any life that has everything, but they have hatred with everything. So God says, hey, just be content with what you got, and God will bless you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I know we didn't do justice and really get into a lot of the verses, but dear Lord, I thank you that you're so patient with us. I thank you that truly, dear Lord, give us a passion just to hate the right things. Dear Lord, I hope everyone in this room, especially when it comes to their, just when it comes to sin, that they'll get closer and closer to you, and they'll get to that point that those things that never bothered them before will start bothering them. And then before you know it, those bothering turns into agitation, that sin, and then eventually it gets to the point that they hate it. And they don't want anything to do with that sin. And I just pray that everyone here, dear Lord, would you lead us just to have a life that's closer to you and have a sweet fellowship, dear Lord. I just thank you for the peace that you give our church, for the wonderful blessing of pastor, even for the families that we have here, dear Lord. Many know what it's like to live in a hateful house. But, dear Lord, I thank you so much for the peace that you give us. Help us to pursue it. Help us not to hate it. And, dear Lord, I pray that you bless, as you always do, and in your name. Amen. Okay.